is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM. KMXT is also in HD, and we have HD2 and HD3 as well. We're also streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. Here in Kodiak, fair skies, 36 degrees, west winds, 18 miles per hour. Gusts are up to 26 miles per hour. Today it's mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 20s, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow Saturday looks like we're going to continue to have some sun, highs in the lower 30s, and then with lows down to 18, and on Sunday it's going to keep getting a little cooler, the high only up to 26 and the lows down to 16, and the clouds are also going to roll back in on Sunday as well. For the midday report, we're going to hear about a balloon-like object found near the coast of Alaska. It's now in the hands of the U.S. military. We'll have more context after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. 275,000 jobs added to payrolls, once again exceeding economists' expectations. That today from the Labor Department's monthly employment report, showing February's gains were driven by several industries and sectors, including restaurants and bars, healthcare, and state and local governments. President Biden talked a lot about the economy in his State of the Union address last night. He again brought up shrinkflation, one of the complaints he's lodged against corporations, calling out smaller package sizes that hide price increases in plain sight.
The snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it.
NPR's Alina Selyuk explains shrinkflation.
The term is relatively new, but companies have long used smaller packaging as a way to raise the price without scaring shoppers. Government research shows lately paper products and snacks have been downsized the most. Think fewer sheets in a toilet paper roll or less cereal and more air in a bag. That data found manufacturers are downsizing less often than they did a decade ago, but changes can be dramatic. Companies say it's a result of their own higher costs for shipping, wages, ingredients. The White House supports a Senate bill that would give regulators more power to police shrinkflation, though critics warn this could lead to federal price controls, which historically have not worked well. Alina Selyuk, NPR News.
The former president of Honduras has been found guilty of drug trafficking by a jury in New York. NPR's Ada Peralta reports the president was a former U.S. ally.
Former President Juan Orlando Hernandez took the stand at his trial. He admitted that drug cartels bribed nearly all politicians in Honduras, but he said he never took a bribe. He argued that drug dealers were trying to sink him by lying at the trial. He pointed to his ties to American officials, including presidents, as proof he was helping the U.S. with its war on drugs. Prosecutors presented convicted drug dealers as witnesses, and they testified that they paid millions of dollars destined for Juan Orlando Hernandez and his campaign for president. In exchange, they testified the former president protected some of the world's biggest drug dealers. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
The Haitian government remains under a state of emergency, which includes a nighttime curfew to counter spiraling gang violence, especially in the capital, Port-au-Prince. Attacks on law enforcement have intensified since Prime Minister Ariel Henry recently agreed to hold general elections next year. He has been out of the country, unable to return home after armed groups laid siege to the international airport. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 68 points. You're listening to NPR. Officials in Hawaii plan to roll out new fire sensors across the state to help prevent another tragedy like that in Maui 7 months ago today. At a news conference with state and federal officials on Maui, U.S. Fire Administrator Lori Morrell said the sensors will act as an early warning system against future wildfires.
New technology that can sense smoke from fire and the particles that the smoke carries.
The fires last August caused more than 100 casualties. It is International Women's Day, and Ireland is holding two referenda that many say are long overdue. Voters are deciding whether to amend the country's constitution to remove language that many find sexist. From London, NPR's Lauren Frayer explains.
The Irish Constitution says, quote, mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labor to the neglect of their duties in the home. Now, this was written 87 years ago. The Irish government says it's outdated. All major political parties agree and are urging people to vote yes to change it. But barely a third of registered voters say they'll turn out. And those in favor of change worry low turnout could favor extremists. A second referendum is about whether to expand the definition of family in Irish law to include people who aren't married. The Catholic Church used to dominate Irish life, but in recent years, the country legalized same-sex marriage and abortion. Lauren Frayer, NPR News, London.
In most of the United States and Canada, clocks spring forward an hour this Sunday morning. It's NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation, dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives, and the listeners who support this NPR station.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
It's 12:06 in Kodiak. I'm Brian Benoit. It's time for the Midday Report. Commercial fishermen off the coast of Alaska found what the U.S. Department of Defense is calling a large balloon with payload. The fishing vessel delivered the balloon to the U.S. Coast Guard in Dutch Harbor. Officials haven't confirmed when the balloon was found, but reporters with KUCB on Saturday saw a large bundle of parachute-like material being loaded onto a U.S. Coast Guard C-130 airplane. The balloon was then sent to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage for further investigation. In a statement, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski referred to the apparent balloon as a, quote, item of national interest. The balloon was caught in the nets of an unnamed American fishing vessel. The Department of Defense says the U.S. Coast Guard asked the fishermen to store the material on board until they docked in Dutch Harbor. Multiple agencies will analyze the object to learn more about its origin and purpose. Department of Defense spokesperson Sue Goff wrote in an email, quote, "We do not know why the balloon was in the waters of off the coast of Alaska, nor are we going to characterize it at this time." The FBI and Alaska National Guard were also involved in the recovery. And speaking of the military, Arctic Care, a U.S. military operation that brings medical experts to underserved communities in Alaska, is making its way back to Kodiak this year. The military group is once again partnering with the Kodiak Area Native Association to bring no-cost healthcare to the archipelago's communities. Captain David Falcon is an officer in charge of the mission. He was on KMXT's public affairs show Talk of the Rock on Tuesday. Falcon says Operation Arctic Care is their way of serving communities while also training.
It's a way for us to get out of our home station base and provide, you know, that care, deliver that care to a community that can use it while simulating that environment that helps us get that training.
The two-week-long mission to the archipelago will bring medical services like dentists, doctors, optometrists, and even veterinarians to the villages off of Kodiak's road system. Falcon says while they're visiting communities, the team will make sure civilians are well cared for and act similar to how they would when responding to events like natural disasters.
Our trained professionals are going to be working in a deployed environment, austere conditions, you know, usually sleeping community style on a cot, you know, receiving their meals through sustained services through our respective branch.
The team will also host classes to teach community members how to perform basic things like stopping bleeding. Canada will host Arctic Care starting on May 8, and the team will provide services until they leave on May 22nd. And a majority of Alaskans support a large increase to state education funding, according to a new poll from the progressive group Data for Progress. In a sample of more than 1,100 Alaskans, 52% said they favor a large increase to the base student allocation. That's the amount of money per student that the state gives to school districts. Nearly 40% of respondents support little or no increase. The poll drills deeper in to look at how much of an increase Alaskans support. Half favor a per student increase of $680 or more. That's the increase the House and Senate passed in recent weeks with broad bipartisan support. Jason Katz-Brown is a senior advisor with Data for Progress.
$680 is a popular amount, although many people want it more. And then we see consistently in our results that in the Matsu is the only constituency that wants a smaller increase than that.
The group produced its poll results at a pivotal time. Governor Mike Dunleavy is threatening to veto the education bill unless lawmakers pass additional legislation adding new retention bonuses for teachers and other priorities. He has until March 14 to sign or veto the bill. The survey touched on other issues in front of the Alaska legislature. Katz-Brown says two-thirds of respondents support a House-passed bill that would expand subsidies and offer new tax credits to support child care.
I say overall, I really thought that Alaska's legislature's bipartisan, like, consensus-building nature shown through in these results.
The poll also asked about the 2024 presidential election. It shows Donald Trump is ahead by 12 points in the state, and more than 60% of respondents disapprove of Joe Biden's performance as president. And by a roughly 2-to-1 margin, they don't want to see grocery store giants Albertsons and Kroger merge. About two-thirds of respondents support a federal ban on trawl fishing off Alaska's coast. The poll was conducted in late February and early March and has a 3-point margin of error. Bringing it back to Kodiak, Kodiak's brand new park and recreation center could get a new name, one that doesn't include the Russian name of Baranof. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Board recommended the Baranof Park and Rec Center's name be changed after a request from a regional committee of Aleutic people. The Kicker Tarmute Aleutit Regional Language Advisory Committee requested the name change based on Alexander's Baranov's exploitation of Aleutic people. Baranov was the first Russian governor of Alaska and oversaw the Russian-American company's fur trading operations on Kodiak Island. In a letter sent to Mayor Pat Branson last week, members of the committee cited Baranov's history of using Aleutic hunters to obtain animal furs for profit and not compensating them fairly. The city's Parks and Recreation Advisory Board discussed the request during a meeting on Tuesday. Michael Bach, who previously worked at the Kodiak History Museum and Aleutic Museum, urged the board to change the park's name not only for the community, but as a statement of solidarity.
Renaming the park to Walnut would enhance the identity and image of Kodiak Island as a place that values diversity, inclusivity, and respect for all cultures. It sends a powerful message to visitors and residents alike, reaffirming our commitment
The majority of the six present Parks and Recreation Advisory Board members wanted the name to be changed, but were split on what it should be changed to. The KIC committee suggested three potential alternative names for the recreation facility, including the Wamek Recreation Center. Chris Paulson, the secretary for the board, explained the final motion the advisory board settled on during Tuesday's meeting.
So if you vote yes, that means you're saying you want to amend the motion to rename the park Womwick Park or Kodiak Community Park and forward those recommendations to the city of Kodiak. If you vote no, we will stay with only the Womwick Park recommendation.
The motion was approved, and the two recommendations will go to the Kodiak City Council, which will open a 30-day public comment period before deciding on the final name. Sleep, eat, and repeat. That's the mantra for dogs and mushers on their 24-hour breaks during the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. The 24s, as they're called, are mandatory and a welcome reset for the weary teams. They could be taken at any checkpoint, although it makes the most sense somewhere near the middle of the race. As Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove reports, many Iditarod mushers opt to take their 24 in the village of Takotna, with just a population of 50 people, due to the outsized amenities the village provides.
Here in Takotna at race mile 329, the food is legendary. Hamburgers, stew, enchiladas, pancakes, scrambled eggs, and a revolving variety of homemade pies are all up for grabs. Plus, there's plenty of room to sleep and dry clothes inside and hot water from a wood-fired boiler outside.
It's been said a lot of times before, but the better I can take care of myself, the better I can take care of the dogs. There's also hot water for the dogs ready to go, so that saves a lot of time not having to melt snow.
Bethel musher Pete Kaiser was taking his 24-hour break in Takotna on Wednesday. Kaiser is the 2019 Iditarod champ, running the race this year for the 15th time. Except for 2 years, the village wasn't a checkpoint due to COVID-19 concerns. He's always taken his 24 into Katna.
It's an efficiency thing for me. I feel like I can be more efficient with my time here than other places.
Some other front runners decided to take their 24-hour breaks farther down the trail, in what are essentially camps, sleeping in tents in some cases, and eating frozen or freeze-dried food from their drop bags. Nearly 20 teams were resting here Wednesday afternoon, the dogs lined out in parallel, each on a bed of straw, most covered in small fleece blankets. About halfway through his 24, Kaiser was taking specific dogs from his team on short walks to prevent stiffness and to get a look at how they were moving. He rubbed their sore muscles and applied foot ointment. At the other end of the dog yard, fellow Iditarod veteran Jessie Royer, running her 21st Iditarod, was moving gear from the green sled she used in the first part of the race to a new purple sled she had sent to Katna that'll allow her to sit down.
Yeah, I pretty much don't 24 anywhere else. I mean, I love it here, and it's where I can get the best rest for me and the dogs, and, you know, I can take better care of the dogs if I'm rested, so.
That dog care includes, of course, feeding the dogs at regular intervals, often every 4 hours or so, just like out on the trail. In another corner of the dog yard, another Iditarod veteran, Mats Pedersen, was ladling a blend of hot water, kibble, beef, salmon, and chicken from a cooler into bowls. Pedersen was coaxing a couple of the dogs to eat by pushing the bowls toward their noses. Most lapped up the soupy mixture. A few were wolfing it down.
Sound of music. The sound of music. Dogs eating.
Do you like that sound?
Oh yeah. That's like, really. No, when you hear that sound, then you know it's working, you know. Reloading, energy, and so on. So yeah.
Pedersen said he knows which dogs like which different kinds of meat, so he'll try to scoop up a piece of beef for one dog or a chunk of salmon for another.
This is lovely. This is what we like. Hey.
Some mushers send drop bags loaded for potential 24s to multiple checkpoints to give themselves options depending on how the race is going. Rookie Iditarod musher Benjamin Good from Fairbanks sent supplies for the day-long layover to 3 checkpoints, Nikolai, McGrath, and Takotna. Good's team mushed into Takotna in the late afternoon Wednesday to take their 24. He bedded down the dogs and fed them, and then ate a burger, salad, and potato salad in a cozy house near the dog lot where other mushers were eating and sleeping. Good said his decision to 24 in Takotna was based in part on advice and looking at what some successful Iditarod mushers had done in the past. But the main factor was the day before. That's when Good's dogs had really started to click, he said.
Yeah, so I told my son, if I 24 in Nikolai, it means I'm having problems. If I 24 in McGrath, that's okay. If I 24 in Takotna, I'm doing pretty good. Like, that's my best case.
The food options didn't hurt either.
I've always heard about the pies, and pie is one of my favorite foods, so that was a clear draw.
The woman behind the pies and the majority of the cooking this year is the Takotna School's principal and teacher, Tabitha Meglich, a 38-year resident of the community.
I'm always happy that people are comfortable here. We do our very best to provide multiple services. The food's just one. It's a big one.
Late Wednesday night, a well-fed and well-rested Ryan Reddington, the defending champ, readied his team to leave after their 24. When he got the okay, Reddington pulled his snow hook and the team leapt out of the dog yard and onto the trail, but not before trying to turn back into the yard, perhaps looking for another meal. In Takotna, and well fed, I'm Casey Grove.
And our last story for the Midday Report. The 96th Academy Awards are airing on ABC this Sunday. Watch parties are being planned across the country, and KNBA's Jill Freitas reports that includes in some tribal communities as well.
There's much anticipation and excitement among Indigenous people who are cheering on 3 Indigenous people nominated in different categories this year. Lily Gladstone, Blackfeet, and Nez Perce is up for Best Actress for her role as Molly Burkhart in the film Killers of the Flower Moon. Also nominated for awards for their contributions to the film are Scott George, Osage, who composed Wazazi, A Song for My People, which is up for Best Song, and Robbie Robertson, Mohawk and Cayuga, nominated for Best Score. Killers of the Flower Moon investigates the murders of dozens of Osage people in Oklahoma in the 1920s for oil money. Gladstone recently became the first Native American to win a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama, an award she dedicated to Native youth. Gladstone also took home an honor for the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Indigenous people working in the film and television industry are applauding Gladstone's achievements and other Oscar nominations. Ariel Tweedo, an Inupiaq from Unalakleet, is a TV personality, producer, and actress. Tweedo says Gladstone winning the awards and being up for an Oscar is paving the way for other Indigenous actors.
Her being nominated and like winning a bunch of these awards already is paving the pathway for people like me that are in the TV industry and the film industry, and like we need someone to look up to. Even though she's like a year older than me, I see her as such a trailblazer and like a role model.
She says Killers of the Flower Moon is helping to highlight the work both on and off the screen by Indigenous people and in the film and television industry.
Well, I think the success of Killers of the Flower Moon now is like proving to people that people are interested in these types of stories. And so like people, like writers, directors, they are watching these types of movies. They care about people that like us. And they see our faces on screen, and Native people like see people that look like them on screen. So now they're just like, they look like me and they're doing this, they're living their dream, they're sharing our stories, they're telling our stories. Yeah, I think it's super cool that there are people outside of Indigenous culture and outside of like the Native communities they care about us and they care about the stories from our perspectives.
Tweedo will be anticipating the news after the awards, as she'll be in a cabin with no electricity.
I'll be like snowboarding or playing in the mountains somewhere or at her cabin in Alaska. So good luck, Lily, and Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm rooting for you.
Watch parties taking place in tribal communities include the Osage Nation in Oklahoma, a Navajo community in New Mexico, and the Indigenous organization Illuminative has a downloadable Oscars watch party kit, which can be found at illuminative.org. I'm Jill Freitas.
And that's it for the local news. We'll be right back with the Island Messenger in just a minute.
Stocks open higher. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute. Stocks rose after the Labor Department reported today the unemployment rate last month spiked up to 3.9%. 275,000 jobs were created last month, more than economists predicted. New York Fed President John Williams said today the neutral interest rate is still quite low. This is a benchmark the Fed uses, a sort of status quo rate that neither stimulates nor cools the economy. Williams also said that politics is not part of the Fed's decision-making process. The economy played a central role in President Biden's State of the Union speech last night. The president tried to convince Americans his policies have improved their lives. He said 15 million new jobs were created in 3 years, with unemployment at a 50-year low. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Minute.
Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Today is Friday, March 8th, 2024. The sunrise today was at 7:43 a.m. The sunset tonight's going to be just before 7 p.m. That makes for 11 hours and 16 minutes of daylight, 5 minutes more than yesterday. The record high today was 54 degrees in 2023. The record low was 1 degree in 1971. Right now, it's fair skies, just about 36 degrees right now at the airport. West winds 18 miles per hour, gusts up to 26. This afternoon is going to stay mostly sunny. Looking out the window, it's pretty bright and blue out there. It's a really nice start to the weekend. Highs are going to get up to 37. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour throughout the day, gusts up to 20. Tonight, mostly cloudy, though, with lows around 23, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny again, with clouds rolling in that night, and the clouds are going to stick around until Monday. Looks like it could be a cold weekend. But despite how cold it is, spring is coming, and with it, the inevitable yearly springing forward of the clocks. Daylight savings time happens this weekend, Sunday, March 10th at 2 a.m. Alaska time. Our clocks will go ahead 1 hour, which means later sunrises, but more light at night to make bedtimes that much more challenging for parents with young ones. Don't be late for your Sunday date. Forward into the light. Kodiak Island Search and Rescue is offering a free avalanche safety class on Wednesday, that's March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Bayside Fire Hall. Chris Bruno from Alaska Avalanche School will be making the presentation, and all are welcome. Anyone who spends time in the backcountry skiing, snowboarding, hiking, etc. should know the basics about avalanche safety. The class is free and open to the public. And the Kodiak Arts Council is having a meet-and-greet music event with the Barbara Leica Quintet at the Islander Bookshop on Saturday, March 16th. That's not tomorrow, but next week at 8:15 p.m. Following the concert event on Sunday, they will also be hosting a community outreach event with Barbara Leica on Monday, March 18th at 10:30 a.m. in the Kodiak Public Library Multipurpose Room. She's backed by her Juno-nominated band and will be showcasing songs and stories behind them, followed by a 5 to 10 minute question and answer session. Both events are free and open for all ages. More information can be found on kodiakarts.org. Isle Bells is also presenting their March Gladness concert series. The next one is Sunday, March 10th at 4 p.m. at the Canna Marketplace, and on Saturday, March 30th at 4 p.m. in the Auditorium Choral Pod. Some nice music events coming up soon. And Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak is hosting a Grief Recovery Method 8-week grief group. You can learn effective tools for how to process feelings of pain and loss while also learning how to live with grief in a manageable way. This will be done in an interactive and supportive environment with grief specialist Juliana Belden. Classes begin March 21st from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. There's also Yoga for Grieving Bodies, also hosted by Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak. Sometimes there are no words that touch the complexity and depth of what we're feeling. The one-day workshop uses gentle stretches and a focus on breathing to create a bridge between what's felt inside and what's happening outside. Yoga for Grieving Bodies will be on Sunday, April 7th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 100th Monkey Yoga Studio. The Kodiak Island Borough School District will have a Board of Education regular meeting on March 11th at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room. The meeting will be streamed live through Teams, and information is posted on the district's website at kibsd.org. Senior citizens of Kodiak is in need of paper bags. You can drop them off, but they ask any bags donated are not torn or soiled, and they can be dropped off between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Speaking of senior citizens of Kodiak, their Island Cove Adult Day program has been helping families to care for their elders for over 35 years. Adult Day services provide relief for the family, reduce isolation for the adult, offers a fun and stimulating place to spend a few hours in a safe environment. If you've considered Adult Day services for your parents or spouse, you can call them at 486-2203. That's it for your community announcements. Thanks again for tuning in to the Midday Report.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Kodiak, and welcome to the March 8th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. That little snow squall on Thursday night was a bit of a surprise. I have to keep reminding myself that although I may be hoping for spring, it's still only early March. I'll try to have a little patience. One of the things I look forward to in the spring and early summer is the return of the puffins and terns to our inshore waters and shoreline. But what do the puffins do all winter? And has the tern population really dropped as much as it seems, or is something else going on? PhD student Katie Stone will give a short talk about what she's learned about the winter habits of the puffins of Kodiak. Immediately after that, biologist Robin Corcoran will fill us in on the current status of the Aleutian terns around the archipelago, and she'll share new information about what they're learning about them, too. Katie's talk begins at 6.05 p.m. in room 106 at the college, and Robin's talk begins at 6.35 p.m. in the same room. You can also join either presentation via Zoom. This is the last weekend you can see the play that goes wrong at the auditorium. This comedy is full of surprises, physical hijinks, and is just plain fun for the entire family. Bring the kids. I'd be surprised if they don't start laughing a little into the show and keep laughing all the way to the end. The adults will find plenty to laugh at as well. There are three shows left, Friday and Saturday nights at 7 p.m. and a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at kodiakarts.org or at the box office an hour before the show. Saturday night is when you turn your clocks ahead an hour. That means more daylight after work, but less in the mornings when you're trying to get going. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.